Here we go again, team. We're back at it. This month's practice focus is where the rubber meets the road, as the saying goes. This will tell us truly if your patients value enough what you can do for them. I know that sounds tough, but it's true. Happy patients, great reviews, all those other things don't trump money. And patients saying yes in terms of being able to see whether or not you're accomplishing your goals of helping people. That's the bottom line. Now, I know that we could never talk about this topic enough for the reason I just stated. At this point in time, we have invested very careful training time, and I have provided you with in-depth examples over the past couple years for everything that your patients could possibly say to you to defer or delay or deny themselves of accepting treatment. What I want to do today is do a brief review and then take some of the most common objections and work to remove them from the patient's stream of consciousness and make your lives a whole lot easier and have less time wasted on dealing with convincing patients and more time making the magic happen that only you know how to do. So important. This is the thing. If patients aren't saying yes, and then somewhere down the road, we have not, I should say, created enough value in the patient's mind. And we've been through that month after month after month. We've been really honing in and focusing on the value creation so that the patient has more desire to move forward with treatment without throwing up these roadblocks. Now, recently, you've been working very diligently on building value. The key to everything and all money issues for patients, it is value, value, value. If you have not studied my Profit Report series all about this, I encourage you to do that as a team because there are many tools that are often underutilized or completely missed that will give you huge advantage in the minds of your patients so that you're not having to play defense or justify fees or treatment or diagnosis in general. I'm not going to restate the obvious about goals and expectations and showing proof and all the other ways you set the tone for your patients. I do hope you've taken each practice focus, hopefully forever, okay, but certainly recently, and you've turned them into decisions, you've role-played, you've built muscle memory with, and you've made protocols and systems out of them so that you are not making this harder on yourselves than you need to. So, to review, we'll get straight down to business here. Value is built in the minds of your patients based on the benefits they will receive or the consequences they will avoid by doing the treatment you are recommending. That sentence could be up in your team lunchroom, okay? This could be in your office. It's very simple. Patients either want the benefits or they want to avoid the consequences. And what they want to do to come into your office and be drilled on or have something else done, of course, most patients are going to find something other activities to do. And they really don't want to come and have dentistry done on them. And so we really have to focus on the enhancement of the benefits, okay, or making so real the consequences of delay or avoid or whatever, so that the patient value is built strongly in their minds. It's not something we're pushing on them. It's something that they're wanting to see happen. You want diagnosis to be interactive and patients engaged in participating. Ideally, the more questions and the more they talk, the better. You do not want to dump diagnosis or dictate diagnosis to patients. Of course, you're documenting the treatment plans. You're going over all the existing issues in their mouth. You know, all of that is normal. Of course, you're doing all the normal clinical things you're dealing with. However, it's all about how the patient feels if the diagnosis is being created and laid out. And again, we must move past problems and think about and consider more possibilities so that you can truly create comprehensive, you know, whatever that word means to you in your practice, in your specialty, in your philosophy, and that really means comprehensive care, and that means a comprehensive vision for the patient. the key to everything in communication and relationships is to just tell the truth to the patients up front about what you're going to do, why it matters to them, and what the goals and objectives you have for them are, and that they should have for themselves. It's okay to tell them that. That's why they're a patient. They come in to be told what is supposed to be proper care or optimal health, or what are they based the decisions on to begin with. Very important. In addition to all of this, it is critical that patients do not feel rushed and that they do feel listened to and that you are checking your value creation progress along the way. A lot of that is what we've been working on over the last few months, checking the value creation progress along the way. The best practices that build the biggest cases most consistently that patients actually want and agree to and pay for and accelerate their progress through their treatment plans are the ones where the patient is upright, talking about what they want, and you are drawing it out of them. Far more so than when they're being leaned back, mouth open, and you are trying to tell them what they should want. If you want to be more successful with your patients, make your process an experience. Slow it down, make it matter and important, and congratulate and encourage your patients for good decisions that they have already made by being in your office in the first place. You would be amazed at what praising the patient for being there to begin with will do in leading them to accepting treatment later on. So important. Now, I could go on with these conceptual reviews and the principles, and you would be well served to discuss them and check up on yourselves as to how well you're doing. It's never a bad thing to take a day, a quarter, and review and study the decisions you've made from each of the practice focuses. They build on each other intentionally so. You know that about me, intentionally so. And while nothing should seem or be new, or you wouldn't want it to be at least, that's the last thing you need. Instead, focus on the fundamentals that work and the discipline to make sure they are happening and you don't get complacent or too busy to do it right, and focus on results, which are all that matter. Still, and of course, you will have patients that throw up barriers and objections, silly questions that disrupt your flow. These happen on the phone, in the treatment room, in the checkout or doctor discussion, or the treatment presentation. They are all over the place, and it's critically important that everyone knows how to confidently handle them and that everyone is on the same page. I have had you make a list of these and talk through them in the past. Today, we want to do an advanced and deep dive into the five most common objections that derail progress and undermine the value creation you have done. I'll weave the basics from level one into the role play structure from level two, and then give you some added mastery level guidance to wrap up our segments for value and money. And next month, we'll turn our sights onto the most important part of everything you do, communication with each other. Which is as important, if not even more important, than the communication you have with your patients. It's going to be amazing and actually a lot of fun. So, five key objections. The value, the importance, the belief, the deserve. You know, you get it. That's number one. And instead of all the others that you would think I would mention, the number one biggest one is the value, the importance, the belief, the deserve. If we go to work on that, so much of the others will be taken away. Then we have the time objection, or delaying or waiting, or the not wanting to do it now objection. And, of course, spouse excuses. Okay, the objection of needing to talk to my spouse as a cop-out for not saying yes or no today. And then, of course, we have the insurance, which is really the easiest one. It's the easiest one. If the patient values the dentistry to begin with, outcome of dentistry, you understand, then the insurance is no big deal because it's not expecting that they're going to get something for free. It's something that they want to truly invest in. And then we have money. Money, okay? Ultimately, it does boil down to money. But if you did a great job building value, you will certainly be amazed at how many patients are able to find the money. Now, not in every case, you know, look, life is what life is, and money is money, but nonetheless, in every case, you can build greater value. You have patients more apt to want to go to work to find the money if they don't already readily have it available. Remember, it does all come back to value and the patient actually wanting what you have discussed with them. If the value is great enough, the objections will dissipate, or it being briefly mentioned, only to be overcome by the patient's own decisions and desire. I want to say that one more time. If the value is great enough, even if there are objections, the patient will actually overcome them with their own decision and desire. Now, we'll take them one at a time with a couple examples I'll give you, and then, you know, you can get to work and do some practicing together. So the first one, again, about value, importance, believe, and deserve. I'm going to tell you a few things about this. Now, I've given you so many tools, that you have developed many of your own tools, everything from storytelling to showcasing proof with the pictures, doing other things throughout the entire process. Just remember that value is built one stage at a time. Phone call is about building value to just come into the practice. The interview or the material, you should be using all the wonderful materials. The material is designed to build value for representing the differentiation factors of your practice. Inside the practice, the interview is simply building value for the clinical experience and the clinical philosophy of the practice. Building of the case is building value of the fact that the patient has things that we can improve on, that we can help them with. Hey, doctor engagement is building value about the vision, the outcomes, okay, the achievement of benefits, the avoidance of consequences, all of these things. Once we go through the clinical yes, okay, once we execute on the triangles of trust, the treatment presentation is about building value in the pathway to health. Hey, all of these things all are void of money, insurance, of any objections. It's all about building the patient's value and desire for the outcome. Now, this is very obviously done. You can tell by looking at a person. Every one of you listening to this, you're very capable of reading another human being. You look at a person, you understand if they're interested or they're not. If they're scrolling their phone, they're watching the clock, or they're engaged, they're looking at you. If the patient is asking questions, then you know you're doing a great job. But you want to be asking them questions. You want to be drawing them in every step of the way. Questions are the key to value development. This is because you cannot learn anything about a patient unless they're talking to you. And so we have to engage them in conversation to bring out what they desire, what they believe important, okay, what they value overall when it comes to the outcome. So I want to strongly emphasize more question asking. You also can say, patient, what questions do you have for me? Now, you have to be ready to handle it if they ask some stupid questions, okay, like the money or insurance, but if they ask a question like, well, how long will this take? Or, well, what exactly is the benefit of this? Or do I really need to have this done? You know, you're going to find out exactly where the patient's at if you're willing to ask questions as well as give them opportunities to give you feedback. Now, the second objection that is often comes up is the patient just simply wants to delay. Now, with delay, we have handled this very carefully together. We've handled it with urgency, with priority. We've handled it by making it time-sensitive. Now, here's the key, and this is the most advanced thing I can possibly tell you. If you know something is going to be good for you, how fast would you do it? Well, a smart person, a responsible person, would do it as fast as they possibly could. So if you give the patient wiggle room, leeway, okay, I like to say if you want to wait and watch, okay, my doctor says that they don't want to help you until you're hurting. Well, that's called a bad doctor. So what we want to do is we want to help the patient understand what is the reason why, what is the significance behind moving forward quickly. Now, I always joke with you, but I mean it very seriously. If it's diagnosed, it must be done. Why else would you diagnose it? So we want the patient to understand the relevance of something. And if you discuss it together, then the patient should move forward. So that's the key. If you want to avoid any kind of these delay questions, if you want to avoid any kind of this not now stuff, then it's a simple concept. You have not done your job to make the clinical value of the treatment important enough for the patient, because every human being, it will put off today what they can do tomorrow. If there's no reason to move forward now, they're certainly not going to do it. So that's number one. That's the most advanced aspect of this. And as soon as that issue comes up, you know you got some ground to cover, because that should really never come up if it has been made important enough along the way in the patient discussion. Now, the basic reminders that I've already told you many times, patient says, I want to wait. You say, well, I'm curious, what exactly would you be waiting for? Okay? Or you say to the patient, well, you know, patient, I'm just really confused by that statement. You understand how important this is. We've already talked about it. And I have to just tell you, if I can say this very nicely, that if waiting is really the reason why we're discussing treatment to begin with, all of these problems that we have been going over in your mouth, it's really a difficult situation, because it is the neglect and the delay that has led to this circumstance. So I have to tell you, I cannot in good conscience say, it's okay for you to wait. No, we need to take care of it right now. It's very, very important. Now, the other thing is, hey, some of you are far scheduled into the future. You're telling patients something's important, but they got to wait a month or two or three to get scheduled. Don't worry. Okay, stop throwing up roadblocks in front of yourself. Hey, getting it done in 3 months is better than getting it done never. So it's you understand. You have a whole lot of patients who are saying yes to your treatment. Well, that's the easiest way to convince somebody else to say yes to treatment. Now, the other thing I want to remind you about is that we're not just talking problems here. Let's say somebody needs an implant. Well, they can go on with a hole in their mouth. Why would they move forward today? You have to go to consequences. Not moving forward now, let me tell you what's going to happen. This. If patient wants a beautiful smile, but yeah, not really sure they want to do it now, you say, I'm just curious. You know, I have to say to you, and this may seem harsh, but we don't live forever. And I can tell you this, we have never, ever had a patient say, you know, I really wish I would have waited longer to get my beautiful new set of veneers. Not once. In fact, if we could just fast forward to the future and we could look into the crystal ball, every single one of our patients always says to us, you know what? When it's all said and done, I only wish I would have done this sooner. And I know that's exactly how you're going to feel. So I got to tell you, today, call it tough love, call it a little extra encouragement, call it just doing what's in your best interest. I think it's time for you to move forward with this right now. Okay? All goes very good. Okay? Now, the spouse one is easy. The spouse one is so, so easy. Now, remember, there's not a whole lot of advanced strategy here. It's just about execution. The advanced strategy is you got to have the spouse there to begin with, okay? If you're dealing with big stuff or important stuff, if you're dealing with full mouth, even quadrant work, it doesn't matter. If you're dealing with surgeries, implants, any specialty things, it's always easy just to have the spouse there. Now, the reason why this is important is because they're also going to become the next referral for you, okay? I can tell you, hands down, in every case, we can get 50%, 1 out of 2 spouses to move forward into a new patient experience if they're a part of the treatment process of the other person. You just got to commit to doing it. Okay, it's silly. It's a waste of opportunity to not do it. The more you have there, the more will turn into treatment themselves. Now, if the spouse isn't there, remember that there's a four-step hierarchy. The first hierarchy is to say, I totally understand. You're going to talk to your spouse. That's great. I'm curious, what do you think your spouse will say about fixing this broken tooth, about having a beautiful smile, about being able to sleep again at night, about replacing the hole in your mouth with an implant so that you can have strong bites again and you can eat all the food that you love, whatever. Okay? And then you let the patient answer. You say, good, well, I thought you would say that. We've never met a husband. Okay, who didn't want what's best for their wife. Why don't we do this? You know, our schedule's in high demand. you know, we're scheduled out so far already. Let's do this. Let's go ahead and get you scheduled. You can do just the partial deposit. If you don't pay the whole thing, you go talk to your spouse. That's fine. Whatever. You don't have to be pushy, okay? You don't have to be pushy. Now, if you would follow my system of collecting money, that would be better. But whatever you have to do, get the patient in motion so they already feel more obligation. Second step, if they have to talk to a spouse, you give them the telephone or you ask them to call on the cell phone, step out of the room. You know this already, but you got to do it. You got to do it. Third step is you set a follow-up appointment. You ask when they're going to be talking to their spouse. You send them home with the photographs, not the treatment plan with the money. And you say, let's have a little conference call. We can go over everything together in case they have any questions, because obviously I can answer those for you. I'm not so sure you would be able to handle them all yourself. Third thing, or fourth, is you bring them back in the office. You say, great, why don't we just push pause? No reason to go into any more detail today. Totally understand. You want your husband to be a part of the discussion. Why don't we set a time where you can both come in, and we'll spend a few minutes with the good doctor, and then we'll walk through everything that we've gone over here today. Okay, very important. Do not let the patient take control, wiggle out of it, okay, and go home into Never Never Land, and then never to be heard from again, or worst case, you have to chase them. The spouse is not entitled to or capable of it becoming the doctor. They get a vote, okay, on whether it's in their best interest of their wife or spouse or partner or not. Okay, of course, they get a vote, okay, but they certainly don't get an opinion about the clinical outlay here of the pathway to health. So very important, do not turn over the reins and lose control. The next one about the insurance, we've done so much work on this, I want to do a very simple review. The advanced strategy on insurance is to just be very blunt about it and explain to patients that, listen, I have to tell you, you might have been misled about what insurance is, and it's okay, but now I'm going to give you the truth. And the fact of the matter is, insurance is a little supplement. It helps with basic routine maintenance care, the cleanings, okay, a cavity a year, a crown, something like that. But what we're talking about today is taking a state of optimal health, and at the end of the day, that's only the responsibility of two people. That's called you and our doctor. And nobody else, not the insurance to pay for it. And I have to tell you, if we were basing your health on insurance, they're going to let you atrophy away into nothing, because the more money they keep, the less money they give to you. And that's kind of the game that they're in. Now, you can say a lot or a little, but you have to just draw a line in the sand. And listen, there's a lot of other places you could go that all they're going to do is suck your insurance dry. And here, what we're caring about is you, not about your money. And I hope that gives you great peace of mind to know you picked the right place. Because for us, it's about relationships, and that's it. We happen to do dentistry. But what we do is we love our patients. And that means that we're not going to let insurance stand in the way of helping you get healthy or do what's in your best interest. Now, there's other things. You all know my hierarchy of the health-o-meter chart, where we show patients that they have to buy their way back up to health in order to effectively use their insurance every year. We also love to tell them, listen, hey, if you're going to let insurance determine the decisions for your health, you're certainly at the wrong practice, because our doctor is going to hold sacred the interaction between you and them, and there's nobody going to tell our doctor how to take care of our patients, because he knows or she knows best. And I think the most important thing for you to decide is where you want to be cared for and who's going to be doing your dentistry, and not what insurance is going to be dictating that you deserve or don't deserve. Very important. So you can review the insurance training that I've provided to you many times before if you're having problems with this. But I can tell you, if you try to beat around the bush, if you try to justify it, if you utilize insurance in any way, shape, or form in your conversations, all you're doing is conditioning the patients to focus on it. When it comes down to dollars and cents, if you present the insurance to the patient, you're going to bypass right over it. You celebrate that they get some money, and you move on to what their responsibility is. If you're presenting big picture treatment, you will have very, very few challenges with insurance. The only time insurance really becomes a patient mentality is if you are stair-stepping treatment, one tooth at a time, even quadrant, to where the patient gets fixated on as much money as they can get for free in order to do as little dentistry as possible out of pocket. Okay, that is a you problem, not a patient problem. By this point in our relationship, you must understand that any, quote, insurance patients are your own fault, because if they're preconditioned properly from the very, very beginning, they understand what your practice is about, the philosophy of care that you provide, and why it's valuable to them. Remember, I told you last month, the two most important things every patient should decide, all that matters. Number one, who's doing the dentistry? Okay, that they want to be a patient in your practice. That's number one decision. They want to be at your practice. That decision is made every step of the way as you win over their trust. The second decision is that they're not showing up to do nothing. Okay, that they are committed to some form, okay, of optimal health, by whatever definition that means to the patient, not to you, to the patient. Okay? And understanding that your responsibility is to build the patient's mindset and value over dentistry, and then customize the care, the treatment plan, the pathway to health, so that you can move the patient forward based on what they want. Finally, finally we're going to go to money. Now, remember, money is handled very, very easily. Because if money becomes an objection, if we've done everything right, all we have to do is anchor it back to any of the four pieces I just went over. So if money is an issue, we have to roll it backwards and find out why. Is it because they don't value it? Is it because they literally have no cash? If they don't have any money, we can help them figure out many different ways they can go about it. Money is flexible. You need to stay open-minded about it. You need to not let it derail you from your approach and what you're trying to accomplish. On the other hand, if the patient just has a question about whether it's worth it or not, well, then you need to go into a deeper-rooted issue. Say, patient, listen, I understand you're asking about money, but I have to tell you, I've been doing this a long time, and I've never had a patient who did not really believe in the value of the care that we provide for them. So if there's something that you may have a question about, I would like to understand what that is, and I help you through it. Because I have to say, there's no price tag we could put on your mouth, on your health, on your beautiful smile, on all the things that you're going to receive as a result of this. Really, I can't imagine that you don't feel that you deserve whatever we're talking about here, okay, no matter what the investment would be. Now, we've come up with a very affordable plan. And you always say that. You come up with a very, very affordable approach. That's what our doctor loves to do. They love to make it easy for our patients. Now, at the end of the day, you know, money's money. We get it. Investment in your health, it's your responsibility to make. But I'm here to help you, and I'm not going to stop until we see this through. So tell me, what would you like to do? Where should we go from here? And there we go, back to questions, okay? Now, that's the advanced version, where you're really engaging, you're challenging. We call that challenging the patient, okay, so that we can see where their commitment's at. Now, the very basic things, as you know, patients that can't afford it, you say, no problem, tell me how much can you afford. You do not focus on the treatment. You're dealing directly with the money. The treatment's already done. Here it is. It's already done. This is the plan. Pictures, draw circles, point out teeth. This is the pathway to health. Money, can't afford it, no problem. What can you afford? $5,000, great. That means we're halfway there. Tell me how you'd like to take care of the rest of it. And there we go, back to questions. Just follow the plan. If at any other point in time, aside from the treatment coordinator going over the money, okay, at any other point in time, money becomes an issue, we circle right back to value. We reassure patients, listen, at this point, it's way too early to be talking about dollars and cents. I understand we're going to get there. If today we're focused on making you healthy, then quite frankly, we don't care about what the investment is going to be, because our job is to do what's in your best interest. And I have the good news that our doctor is not looking at your wallet, your checkbook, or your credit cards to find out what we need to do in your mouth. Okay, so your mouth's going to tell us what the treatment needs to be, and then, of course, ultimately, you're going to make your own decisions. We understand that. We know you don't work for free in the nice career and profession that you have. Certainly, we don't either, but at the end of the day, all we're going to do is make decision about what's in your best interest for your pathway to health, and then that will determine what the investment is going to be. Now, I expand my verbiage because, you know, you're going to pick at pieces and parts of it. But let me tell you what I just did. Listen carefully. What I just did is I just blamed the patient for whatever the price tag is going to end up. Now, that's a very, very advanced psychology. In a very nice way, I said, look, who knows? Who knows what it's going to be? Okay? What we're talking about here is your mouth. Your mouth tells us what it's going to look like. Okay, so this is very important. Now it's not your fault, and it's also not the patient's decision about how much. Okay, again, it's all about the pathway to health being built. This circles all the way back to the value. You got it. All the way back to the value. Now, that's so many things for you to think about. So many things. Now, I want you to really, really take seriously breaking down each of these pieces, talking about them together, coming to strong consensus on how you're going to handle it, role-playing out the advanced. You should have the basic stuff mastered. The advanced components of everything that I've gone over here today, I really want you to role-play that out and make it real. It's so important for you to make it real, practice real examples, real patients, you know, situations. And I've gone a little bit long today, a little bit long, because I wanted to make sure we get it all in. Lastly, for our team development exercise today, I'm going to really put you on the spot. And I want to ask you about where your beliefs or personal realities get in the way of helping your patient when it comes to each of these five core treatment acceptance killers. You understand where I'm going with this. It is important, first and foremost, so important. Always, it boils back down to this. Your belief and your value perception must be strong enough to help move your patients forward regardless of what you personally might feel, you know, even realistic or practical for yourself or others. Never forget, I always say, patients can only say yes to what we give them a chance to say yes to. That is your responsibility, giving them a chance, telling them the truth, providing them a path to optimal health based on what you do for your patients. You also have the greatest responsibility possible to have integrity with the diagnosis and help move, motivate, compel, educate, inspire your patients to accept treatment now, today, because any good thing is better sooner than later, and oftentimes you may have to build up your belief and your deserve and your value levels first. Then, like a magnet, it's very easy to get patients to move forward fast without resistance. Your confidence and energy and positivity and conviction is the greatest way to destroy and deter any objections from getting in the way of helping your patients help themselves get healthy. Done right, this month, I've given you the most powerful lesson of all to help you move the needle on your case acceptance and to make more magic happen with more patients every day by moving them to yes without anything getting in yours or their way of doing so. Now, it's time to discuss and practice and make sure you're all on the same page. Take your time. Every word matters. Your seamless reflex and avoiding being defensive or justifying will help you gain more trust and credibility from your patients while keeping control and motivating them to move forward. Please do the team exercise as well, where you get to share openly about things that you need to build your muscles and confidence with when it comes to these five things, is so that you're strongly representing the practice and helping be an advocate for your patients, not an excuse maker or an excuse acceptor for them, but really an advocate and a guide and a cheerleader to push them over the edge. As always, it's my pleasure to be with you here today. Get to work. I'll be back next month, and we'll shake things up for something quite different.